Tucker by my side.
Hey, you're listening to 830 AM KSDP in Sign Point, Alaska.
Ever since the 60s, if you wanted to experience folk music in Boston, Club Passim has been the place to go. And I say experience for a reason. As Club Passim's managing director, Matt Smith, says,
we're not a bar. We're not a place where people are sitting around and music's happening kind of in the background. Music is the foreground here.
This hour, we kick off our new Sense of Place Boston series with a visit to Club Passim. You'll hear about the history, about the artists who got their start there, how it came to be a nonprofit member-supported venue, and about how they think about folk music as a genre.
You know, folk music is not an American thing. There, you know, every culture has a folk music.
Experience folk music at Club Passim for Sense of Place Boston today. I'm Raina Duras, and this is World Cafe.
They'll tell you wicked love and lies.
First up, Radiohead, who sound like they're doing some traveling of their own in this song, and it's not going so well. This is Let Down.
Yeah.
This is World Cafe. I'm Rena Duris. Cambridge, Massachusetts, the home of Harvard University, is full of grand academic buildings. It's a place that oozes prestige, history, greatness. But nestled in an alley in Harvard Square, down some stairs and so unassuming that you could walk by without even realizing it was there, is a legendary music venue as important as any of those stately halls. Club Passim has been a sanctuary for folk musicians and fans for over 60 years. Joan Baez, Judy Collins, and even Bob Dylan have all performed at this tiny, intimate venue.
And he never had his own show here. But we do have a recording of him playing in this room from September, October of 63.
So long, honey, baby, where I'm bound, I can't tell.
That's managing director Matt Smith. For our Sense of Place Boston series, we sat down with Matt to find out how this modest club became a cornerstone of Boston's music scene.
Well, I can remember the first time I came. I had planned to come to a show in late October. I'd heard of this place, but I'd never been able to find it. You know, this is in days before internet and Google Maps and things like that, and you just had to kind of find things.
And it's underground.
And it's underground, and it's down a side street, you know, an alley that's kind of hidden. But I'd heard of this place, and a friend of mine had turned me on to kind of the local folk scene. And so one day I was just happened to be walking down this street and finally saw it. And was planning on going to the show the next week, the next Wednesday, but instead I came that Sunday. There were a couple of artists that I'd heard of, and I just fell in love with the place.
Club Passim is sort of the opposite of grand. It's a tiny room that holds only about 100 people. The audience is seated at candlelit tables, and at one end of the room, barely higher than the tables themselves, is a small black platform. That's the stage. There is no backstage. It's very intimate.
And we're so, so honored and thrilled to be able to welcome to the Club Passim stage, Laurie McKenna.
It's kind of undeniable. You know, the audience is part of the show.
Yeah.
And so you end up really connecting with artists. And it was a co-bill of two artists. And, you know, when one wasn't on stage, they were sitting right next to me at a table in the audience.
You can't get closer than that.
Exactly. And so that kind of connection just really hit home in a way that, you know, that I wasn't getting in a lot of other places.
In fact, Passim markets itself as a premier listening room. Phones and noisy crowds are highly discouraged.
Hard times and landslides are brought alive, I know. Like they say, none of us get out alive. Whatever ocean you're swimming across, however valley low, whatever mountains you climb.
We're not a bar. We're not a place where people are sitting around and music's happening kind of in the background. Music is the foreground here. People are buying a concert ticket to come and see a show. So it's kind of like a micro theater, if you will. You know, people are seated. We have meals and drinks, and they watch the show. And there are times when we might have a rowdy table that we have to get them out of here because they're ruining the show for other people that are here. Yeah, you know, people are coming to see someone intentionally and specifically, and they want that person to be the focus of what's going on in the room.
The intimacy that makes Passim special also makes every move and every sound essentially part of the show.
There was one show where all of a sudden one of our main speakers went out. And it's a sold-out show, and I'm scrambling around trying to find ways to get things connected again. You know, people are watching me do it. It's not like, you know, the show has stopped. And so you just got to kind of live in the moment. You know, this is not high, large-scale rock and roll production, and you know, like, this is very intimate. You know, the performances are very real, and so people, they don't need to suspend their disbelief about what's going on in the room. They know what's going on.
All men are false, says my mother. They'll tell you wicked love and lies.
Originally called Club 47, the venue opened its doors in 1958 as a jazz club, but it quickly found itself swept up in the folk music revival of the 60s.
But there were a lot of folks that lived here. Joan Baez was, had been living in Belmont and went to BU for a minute, and was part of the burgeoning folk scene from here. But also Eric von Schmidt and Jim Queskin and the Queskin Jug Band, and there were a lot of students here that were getting turned on to folk music, a lot of them through the Harry Smith Anthology of Folk Music, which had just come out back then.
A lot of heavyweights graced the venue's early stage. Judy Collins, Pete Seeger, Joni Mitchell. Matt says Club 47 originally turned down a young Bob Dylan, but let him play for free in between sets.
But it's a puzzle of trying to fit new things and develop new artists, as well as bringing back the things that people have been fans of for years and sometimes decades. There are people that have been playing here since the 60s.
That's so cool. For that long, people have come back here.
Absolutely. Jim Queskin, who's one of the artists on that wall out front, first started playing here maybe in 62, and he this year he turned 84 and he still plays here.
Went down the team about 4 o'clock. I spotted them bluefish swimming around. I got so hungry, didn't know what to do. I'm gonna catch me a bluefish too. City been fishing all the time. I'm going fishing too. I bet your life, dumb and wife, I catch more fish than you.
By 1969, Club 47 had rebranded to simply Passim and moved into its current location on Palmer Street. In the 70s, Passim hosted the likes of Tom Waits, Jackson Browne, and a young Stevie Nicks. The 80s brought Tracy Chapman. But by the late 90s, Passim was struggling. Folk music's popularity was waning, and rent payments were piling up.
And so a local record label, some artist managers, and a whole group of community members got together to negotiate these things and try to settle up past debts, but reincorporate the venue as a nonprofit organization and as a community space.
Talking about a revolution that sounds peaceful. Where are people gonna rise up and get their share?
Becoming a nonprofit gave Passim new life. And it turned it into much more than just a venue. It became a hub for education and innovation. In the year 2000, the Club Passim School of Music opened, offering lessons and workshops to aspiring musicians.
It creates little communities of people that are then playing music together. And so, it's really about that. We do have some more professional track workshops and things like that of people coming in and talking about how to put a press kit together, or how to book a show, and what do you do once you have a show booked, and things like that. But it's mostly about playing music together.
Passim isn't just about preserving folk music. The organization wants to broaden our understanding of what folk music sounds like.
Our newest initiative is called the Folk Collective, which is looking at DEIB in on stage and off, and just kind of bringing a really diverse group of people of artists and thought leaders and educators to talk about folk music, which is what this place has traditionally been known as, kind of a folk music venue, but reclaiming that word in a much broader context, because folk music is not an American thing. Every culture has a folk music.
From traditional Scandinavian fiddle tunes to hip-hop and punk music, Passim's stage has become a space where the traditional definition of folk has been stretched and challenged. The venue hosts over 400 shows a year, plus its campfire festival and regular open mic nights.
Josh Ritter, Anais Mitchell, Aaron McCune, Chris Delmhorst, Tall Heights, just loads and loads of people. Kind of the whole past couple of generations that have come through the room probably got their start here at our open mic or at our campfire festival.
Club Passim is not just a place to play. It's a home for folk musicians. A place where music doesn't happen for you, it happens with you.
A lot of places feel that, you know, the venue and the artist are, you know, it's a battle and it's a struggle and they're on opposite sides of what's, you know, trying to get the money. And that's a terrible way to look at this because it's symbiotic. You know, you can't have venues without artists, and artists need places to play. So that is kind of an overarching philosophy here where, you know, the artist and the venue are on the same team.
It's a philosophy that has guided Club Passim for over 60 years, creating a space where music thrives because of collaboration, not competition.
I went downtown D.C., running all around town, trying to find a little lady, hit me when I'm down. Nobody answers, ain't anybody home. Gotta grab me a cab, get to Baltimore. She got great long hair, big old smile, great long legs that drive me wild. And hey, I'm on the road again.
Thank you to Matt Smith and Club Passim. For more on our Sense of Place Boston series, visit worldcafe.org. I'm Raina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe. Before the break here on World Cafe, you heard us kicking off our Sense of Place Boston series with a visit to Club Passim. You can see pictures and video from Club Passim by following our social media at World Cafe on Instagram. You'll be able to see pictures and video from the whole trip as we roll it out. And you can also visit worldcafe.org. Now, to celebrate kicking off our Sense of Place Boston series, here are some Boston bands, a whole bunch of them in a row here, starting with the Modern Lovers, Roadrunner.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Roadrunner, roadrunner, going faster, miles an hour. Gonna drive past the stop and shop with the radio on. I'm in love with Massachusetts and the neon when it's cold outside. I'm in love with rock and roll, then I'll be out all night. Roadrunner, that's right. Oh.
Public Radio's most listened to music program. This is World Cafe. Juliana Hatfield III with My Sister, rounding out a set of five Boston bands in a row there for the first day of our Sense of Place Boston series. Make sure you're subscribed to the World Cafe podcast wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an installment of that. More music in a minute here on World Cafe. You are listening to The World Cafe with me, Raina Duris. And sometimes when a band that's been around for a long, long time releases a new album, you may feel skeptical that it will live up to the band's past glory. But when The Cure put out Songs of a Lost World last year, they totally blew away any of that skepticism, any worry that they might not have the touch anymore. Fans loved it. Critics loved it. It sounded like classic Cure, and this song was a favorite right away. All I Ever Am, The Cure. We'll be right back. Music from Lucius, that was Turn It Around. Some Bob Dylan on deck for you in about 5 minutes here on World Cafe. But first, an artist who appears as a guest on the new Ringo Starr country album, Look Up, Billy Strings. This is from Billy Strings' own record that came out late last year. Maybe you can hear what Ringo did in his music. It's Gild the Lily.
I'd sing along
If you see her, say hello. She might be in Tangier. She left here last early spring. Is living there, I hear. Say for me that I'm all right. Though things get kind of slow, she might think that I've forgotten her. Don't tell her it isn't so. We had a falling out, like lovers often will. And to think of how she left that night, it still brings me a chill. And though our separation it pierced me to the heart, she still lives inside of me. We've never been apart. If you get close to her, kiss her once for me. Always have respected her for doing what she did and getting free. Oh, whatever makes her happy, I won't stand in the way. For the bitter taste still lingers on from the night I tried to make her stay. I see a lot of people as I make their rounds, and I hear her name here and there as I go from town to town. And I've never gotten used to it. I've just learned to turn it off. Either I'm too sensitive or else I'm getting soft. Sundown, yellow moon, I replay the past. I know every scene by heart, they all went by so fast. If she's passing back this way, I'm not that hard to find. Tell her can look me up if she's got the
Bob Dylan.
You are listening to 830 AM KSDP in Sandpoint, Alaska.